October, November, and December all just kind of mush together for the end of the year. Halloween is exploding in popularity, and it seems like we go, like, it's Halloween, Christmas. Thanksgiving's just a little bump in the middle there on the way to Christmas. Just a minor day overshadowed by Christmas. There's Christmas stuff on the radio, on ads. We have all kinds of decorations at my job, at work. Giving campaigns, toy drives to help kids have a great Christmas. With all the Christmas stuff going on, it's hard not to notice at least some of it. It's almost enough to make you wonder, what did Christ actually teach? What did Christ say when he was here? What was it that Christ told us to do? Today in my sermonette, I want to cover three things that Jesus taught us. And for that, I'd like to ask you to begin turning to Mark 1. We're going to read verses 14 and 15. Mark 1, 14 and 15. Jesus begins, the title of this passage is Jesus Begins His Galilean Ministry. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The beginning of Christ's ministry. This is after the woman at the well in Samaria where Christ revealed himself to those Samaritans. This is one of the first things Christ says, is repent. Matthew 4:17 contains the parallel passage. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent, like now. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Again, in Luke 13, verses 1 through 5, we see more calls for repentance. Repent or perish is the title of this kind of section in the New King James Version. They were present at that season, some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that those Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered such things? Think these guys were worse than anybody else? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all the other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." So the tower of Siloam, the tower fell and killed a bunch of people. And the people of that time were like, those people must have been really bad sinners for that to happen to them. They were the worst sinners. Sinners were worse. It seems kind of like an oxymoron, a worse sinner. That sinner is worse, sinning worse than that sinner. You know what that looks like, though, right? We all do, right? Sin, but worse. Worse. I don't know about you, but my human nature can always frame something where you can look down on someone else, you know? You know your motives. They're good motives. You don't know their motives. Their motives are probably just to sin and be bad. But, you know, we cannot see other people's intentions. We're all sinners. Yeah, but I don't need to repent as hard as that guy. That guy, did you see the stuff that guy did? Can you believe it? Neither did Jesus. Luke 18, 9 to 14, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Luke 18, verses 9 to 14, beginning in verse 9, "And he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even like this guy, the tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' Jesus said, 'Go and do likewise, for you are better than other men. You keep all the commandments. You keep the Sabbath. If you fall short, it's surely with good intentions. You're so good at tithing, not like other men. You're better.
Oh, actually, no.
He didn't say that. He said, continuing in verse 13, and the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven and beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. How often do we fall on our knees before God, the creator of the universe, and beg for his mercy? I don't know about you, but I can feel pretty good about myself at times. Scroll down that list of commandments, feel like, you know, I don't have too much to repent for. Maybe it's only me that vacillates between feeling pretty good about myself and the horror and realization that we are called to bring every thought into captivity, to magnify and glory our Father and glorify our Father in heaven. And I will be called to answer for every word that comes out of my mouth. But which bucket am I in? Which person do I most like resemble in this story? I gotta say, more often than not, I'm looking more like the Pharisee than the tax collector. This means I need to get back to basics. Get the fundamentals down. Repent. I've already read the next point back in Mark. Mark 1, verses 14 to 15. We'll go back there. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. Do you believe? You're here, so I assume you believe, but what do we do with that belief? John used the verb believe 98 times, more than the rest of the other gospels combined. In John 3, Jesus is visited by Nicodemus, a leader among the Jews and a Pharisee. Jesus is explaining what we understand now as the symbols of baptism and being born again, and Nicodemus is just trying to wrap his head around it. He's like, what are you saying to me right now? How can a man be born again? Let's read that passage in John 3:9. John 3:9. Nicodemus answered him and said, how can these things be? How can one be born again? Jesus answered him and said, are you the teacher of Israel? And do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and we testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man, who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes, again, believes in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Believe, the foundation of Christianity, belief and repentance. The phrase believe and have everlasting life is all throughout John. John 5:24, John 6:47. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I could read them all, but there's instances where many believed and a few believed, and where Jesus says, if you don't believe, you'll die in your sins. John 8:31 contains the famous line, the truth shall set you free. But who is he telling that to? Jesus said to those who believed. In verse 31, John 8:31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, or the truth shall make you free. The last thing I'm going to do, the last point I'm going to cover today is what we should do with our belief. James 2:14. What good is it, my brothers and sister, if someone claims to have faith or belief, but has no deeds? Can faith save them? Do you believe? Good. Show me your belief through your actions. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, and does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by action is dead. Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe and shudder. The third and final point that I have today is act. Act out your faith. I don't know about you, but I think about that verse a lot. If you tell someone, go in peace, be warm and fed, but don't do anything to help them physically, what good is it? I think about that when I'm driving on I-5 and I see a guy changing the tire in the rain and maybe the dark, and as I fly by him at the speed limit, sorry, buddy, I wish I could help, but I'm in the fast lane and you're all the way over there. I can't help. I gotta get to work, or I gotta get home so I can take my kids to piano, or be warm and filled. It's like, okay. Is that what that means, be warm and filled? I feel like, personally, I could improve the actions that I take. I guess there's not many aspects of Christianity where I don't need to improve, but in this particular aspect, I would like to invite all of you to join me in my attempt to improve. Homework. In the back of the hall, there are two boxes with gallon-sized Ziploc bags filled with items that might be beneficial. These are care packages, if you will. One is marked female, and the other is marked male. And they contain basic toiletry items that our teens identified and suggested that be put into these bags. And it's basically toiletry items, as well as sunscreen, water, and a granola bar. So I encourage you to grab two bags per household to start. Throw them in your car. Next time you come across someone who looks like they could use some basic essentials, give it to them. Next week, if there's any left over, you can grab some more. And there will be more coming. But the reason there's sunscreen in there is because this has been sitting in my house. You guys know how long it takes me to caulk my bathroom. So it's really good that we've got it done by now. The sunscreen was there because it's been sitting in my house since summer. But there is sunscreen in there nonetheless. So I encourage you to grab two bags per household to start. Throw them in your car. And it would have been nice to have some inspirational scriptures in there, organize a bit more, but if I would have waited for that, I don't think it would have ever gotten done. There's so much more than what I said today that we can glean from Christ's teaching. But today I just wanted to cover a couple of the fundamentals, the basics, simple concepts that we can always have room for improvement in our lives. Repent, believe, and act.